Welcome back to Amid Yomi. Today we're continuing to learn Masechtas Megillah, Daf Chaf Beis Amid Aleph, beginning on a Chaf Aleph, Amid Beis on the bottom. And we are learning in the Zechus, the merit that the hostages should all be returned home safely and soundly. The soldiers should return home. Israel should emerge victorious, and the nations of the world should continue to support Israel. We're discussing what's going to be, I guess you could say it's something rather quizzical or unique that we do in Rosh Chodesh, and that is, for those who are familiar with the Rosh Chodesh laning, we lane the parasha of the Talmud, which includes also the parasha of the Chodesh, and there are four aliyahs, as the Gemara pointed out, but we actually double back at some point and reread some of the Pesukim more than once. The question is, why do we do that? So yesterday we discussed a Torah reading needs to have a minimum of 10 Pesukim. We also said an aliyah needs to have a minimum of three Pesukim. An aliyah must have a minimum of three Pesukim. And lastly, the last rule we're going to introduce is we don't end an aliyah, or begin an aliyah for that matter, in middle of something unless we have three, almost like a three psukim buffer zone. We're not going to read, like, if there's a new paragraph, we're not going to just read two psukim, we'll have to read at least three psukim of that. And the reason for this is we don't want to give the misconception, if someone walks in, that we're only reading two psukim for an aliyah, because an aliyah needs a minimum of three psukim. So if you stop in the middle of a paragraph, only two psukim in, and someone had walked in late, so then it looks like he only read two psukim the paragraph. So again, let's just go through the rules again. 10 psukim for a Torah reading, 3 per aliyah, and we don't end in middle of or begin in the middle of a paragraph. That being said, so now we're going to kind of go through the laning for Rosh Chodesh. Important to note, Rosh Chodesh laning, the way it works is it's 3 paragraphs. The first one is Vayda'aber Hashem Moshe Lamor, Tzavos B'nei Yisrael Matan Lemeskar B'nilachmi Yishai Reich Yichachi Tishmeru Lakrit Mivam Adam. That paragraph is 8 psukim, ending off with Tevis Hashini Tase Ben Abayim. Kibin Chazah Boker Uchniso Nase Yishareach Tichol Lashem. Talking about the carbon Tumah Shal Ben Abayim. Next paragraph is talking about Shabbos. Ubiyomah Shabbos Nek Vesim Dei Shnatim Mim Shnei Mer Sirim Solas Mincha. That's 2 psukim, ending off with Olas Shabbos B'Shabbato. And the last 5 psukim are Ubrosh Chodashim Tigruvan, the carbon for Rosh Chodesh, ending off Usir Izim Echad Chatas. So again, we're going to see the problem is going to be, I'm sorry for this long introduction, that the middle paragraph, Ubiyomah Shabbos, is only 2 psukim. So, now let's figure this all out. We have to divide this into 4 separate aliyos. Says the Gemara. Berosh Chodeshim b'chol shemoed korim arba. On Rosh Chodesh and Chol Hamoed, we read 4 people are called to the Torah, 4 aliyos. Ba'ime Ula bar Rav Mirava. Ula bar Rav asks of Rava. Parshas Rosh Chodesh keitzed korim. How do we divide up Rosh Chodesh? Again, Tzavos b'nei Yisrael matan lemeskar b'nilachmi. Davin Timnim Suki, that's 8 psukim. Heichinavit, so what are we going to do? How are we going to split it? Nikra Trey, plus psuki. So what you'll have is you'll have 2 people called that. Each one will read 3 psukim. What's going to happen is now we'll have 2 psukim remaining at the end of the paragraph. Even I, who don't know math, know simple math that 3 plus 3 equals 6, and 6 minus 8 equals 2. Thus, we have, that was way too complicated. Point is, if you divide up, each person gets 3 psukim, so you'll have 2 psukim left over, and again, partial tray of 2. We don't leave off in the middle of a paragraph unless we have at least 3 psukim. Again, because if someone comes in this case, someone walks comes in early for the next aliyah, it looks wrong. It looks like there's only 2 psukim. So nikra arba arba. Now, if you have each person, should then, very simple, have everyone read 4 psukim. So now the first parsha of Vayda'aber Hashem Moshe Lamor until Eskeves Hasheni is read by 2 people, all of it, 4 and 4 psukim, pashle shiva. So now we have a problem. You have 7 verses now remaining at the end of between the next 2 parshios of Ubiyom HaShabbos and Rosh Chodeshim. Again, 5 plus 2 equals 7. Now, Ubiyom HaShabbos having Trey, Ubiyom HaShabbos having Chamisha. Okay. Hey, how are we going to divide those up? If they're divided among 2 people, right? So you have a total of 4 people. If you have the third reader read 2 psukim from the second paragraph, as in Ubiyom HaShabbos Shnei Kvasim Dei Shnat Timimim Hushtei Hashtim Sohlet Mincha Pelo Hashem. Let's go. If you have that done, and then they go on and read additional of Rosh Chodesh, particularly Ola Hashem, it's worth it to have a sitter out for this. So if you have that, we don't begin a new parasha with less than 3 psukim. Okay. So the third reader read 2 from here and 3 from the next parasha, Pashalu Trey. So now you'll only have 2 will remain in the third and final paragraph. Again, why was that so? So if you have 2 from here, meaning, and then 3 from the next paragraph, what's going to leave you is there's only going to be two remaining, because the last paragraph only has five. So we still have a problem. We don't end off. We need to have at least a minimum of three psukim for Aliyah. So again, the problem we have is, how are we going to divide this up now that we know you need to have at least a minimum of three per Aliyah, but also you can't start or end a paragraph with only two psukim remaining? Amar lo, so Rava says back to Ula bar Rav, who asked him, Zulo Shemati, I don't know what to do. However, I do know there's a similar situation, a similar dilemma we have elsewhere, and that is the Mamados, which we discussed before, and that is that they did the special readings for the Mamados. Each day of the week, there was another representative or group of representatives who would come essentially to be the representative of Klal Yisrael on the base of Migdash. So when they brought the Karbon Tumah, it was being brought, quote-unquote, on behalf of all Klal Yisrael, because we had representatives there. And they did special readings. So Rava says to Ula bar Rav, I don't know what to do about Rosh Chodesh, but I knew there's another place where we face a similar dilemma of how to divide psukim. This is what we do. It's not. We learned in the Mishnah, and this is going to be found in Tainus. On Sunday, they would read in the beginning, let there be a sky. And the Bereshis says, the first paragraph starts in the beginning, Bereshis is read by two people. Next paragraph of Yehi Rekiah is read by one. V'havim bay, v'shlami Yehi Rekiah echad. Now, what's going on here? It is understandable to say, let there be Rakiah should be read by one person. Why? It's less of Sukkah habit, because there are three verses in that paragraph, and all is well. El Bereshit B'Shnayim. But in the beginning, how is it read by two people? Chamushi Pesukim Havi. There are five paragraphs there. Five Pesukim in that paragraph. Again, so just if you have a Chumash still open with you, from Bereshit until the end of the first day, that's five Pesukim. And then the second day, when they divide the skies, that's Pasuk Vav and Pasuk through Ches. Okay, so what we have now is as follows. Vav through Ches, that's three Pesukim. Right? Vav, Zayin, Ches. So just to go over that again, how are we going to divide this up? Because if you say, to circle back for a second, if you say, Yehi Rakia, which is three Pesukim, read by one person, that's all good, which means that the first thing is read by El Bereshit B'Shnayim, but how then is Bereshit, the first reading, going to be divided into two? It's five Pesukim, which means one person get three, one person only get two. B'tanya Karbon Torah Leif L'Shalosh Pesukim. And we know at minimum an Aliyah needs to have three Pesukim. B'Yitmar La, Rav Amar Dalit. So Rav says the second reader goes back and reads the last verse again. Shmuel Amar Posek. Shmuel says not actually split the third verse into two, meaning one person reads half it and the other person reads half the thing. So we have now, again, we have the problem is you have how are we going to divide it up? So either you go back, so you basically reread a pasuk read already thing so that you again, I guess it's Bereshit is five psukim. The first three psukim are the first Aliyah, and then the latter three psukim, including which is an overlap, the third pasuk overlap, is read by the second Aliyah. That's Rav. Shmuel says, no, the third Pasuk, we split in half. Half is read by the first Aliyah, half is read by the second Aliyah. Rav, we're doing my time along our Pasuk. So why does Rav say go back and not split it? This is a very important halacha, and that is that any Pasuk, any verse that was not divided by Moshe, we do not divide it. And that's also why some people don't like saying half Sukkim, such as on Friday night, starting with Yom HaShishi. It's a half pasuk. That's why we start with here by Yavokar Yom HaShishi. That's one of the reasons. The same thing also applies in the briskers and Machmir by Vizosa Torah. Ushmul are posting like Shmuel said we could divide. Why Amar Chanina Kara Sar Gadol How you lead Itzar Chanina Gadol Little Lipsik Ella Tukas Shalbeis Rabbim. So Shmuel comes along and says you should divide it. The question is Rav Chanina, how can you divide? Then we have this principle we don't divide a pasuk Moshe Beinu. In fact, we'll tell the following story that Rav Chanina the Great wanted a heter to divide psukim, and I went to Rav Chanina the Great, and he said you can't do it. The only people who are allowed to divide psukim in half are the school children because that's how they learn. Hov v'slam v'alzim because they're trying to learn it. So has time am I? So says the Gemara. Well, why is it we permit the children to divide psukim in half? We shouldn't do lefshar because it's impossible to teach them any other way. Meaning you give a child a full pasuk, they're getting overwhelmed, they're not going to figure it out. You can have a pasuk, they'll figure it out. Here too, that we need to figure out how we can divide the first Aliyah, if you will, from Bereshit, the first five psukim, into two Aliyos. There's no way to do it other than to divide one of the psukim in half, as the third pasuk in half, and half the first half is read by the first Aliyah, the second half is read by the second Aliyah. Okay, that's Shmuel. Ushmuel reposing my time alone. Why does Shmuel say split? Why doesn't he say like Rav says just go back and the first Aliyah reads 1-3, and the second Aliyah reads 3-5? Says the Gemara, because he's concerned again about those who might come late to shul or leave early from shul, meisve, and therefore what? And therefore, they're going to be confused. Because if they leave early, they're going to think, wait, the first guy read three psukim, which means the next guy, they're going to draw the conclusion, next guy is only going to read two psukim. If they come late, they're going to hear the second guy reading three psukim, they're going to assume the first guy only read two psukim. Okay, Meisvei, following challenge. Parasha shel shish psukim, karo osa b'shnayim. If you have a paragraph of six verses, you divide it by two people. V'shachamisha poskim b'yachad. And a paragraph of five verses read by one person. Kra rishon shlosha. If the first reader already had read three, hasheni kara shnayim parasha zu b'yachim parasha acheres. The second reads two from this one and three from the other one. What we have here is we're not splitting it and we're not going back. And some say the second reader should be three verses of the next section. Because we don't begin a paragraph with less than three psukim. Point is, according to Rabbi Shmuel, there's no need to do this. You just split the pasuk in half or go back. You double back. What's going on here? No, here's different. That in the event, you're able to read more than the allotted amount, so you should do that. In the event where you can't, so then you either double back or you split the pasuk in half. Okay. Amar Tanchum, Amar Yeshua ben Levi. Says Rav Tanchum, Amar Yeshua ben Levi. Halacha k'yesh omrim. The halacha is like the yesh omrim that you should just read three psukim from the new paragraph. Okay. Amar Tanchum, Amar Yeshua ben Levi. K'shem she'ei matchil in parashat pachim begin psukim. Just as one does not begin a paragraph with less than three psukim, kach in mishayorin parashat pachim shalosh psukim. We cannot leave a parasha unread with less than three psukim. Pshita, this is obvious. If you say in the beginning of a paragraph, you're reading less than three. If you say in the beginning of a paragraph, and with regards to reading less than three is a problem, and we say you should be stringent, you mean you have to have at least three. Shir demachmer tanakam lo kol shekein demachmer yesh omrim. Where the tanakam is stringent, is not certain that the yesh omrim would follow that as well. So why do we have to have a separate ruling that says you can't leave three, you can't leave less than three unread. So my time. So the Gemara says as follows. Nichnasa shiach. People are common to come late. Yotzin yo shiach minichay sefer Torah minafik. But people don't often leave early. Really? People don't often leave early. Kamash v'lon. So we say actually no, people do leave early and therefore we have to be concerned about events. But Tanakam ma'ishna shir d'lo. According to Tanakam, what is different about leaving unread less than three? Mishum yotzin. Because the people who might leave in middle, who will think, oh wait, they're only reading two verses from the first paragraph. So Isgunam Xermishum Hanichnasin. Sorry, messed it up. Go back again. The Tanakam Maishnah Dishur Delo Ushum Yatsin. According to Tanakama, Tanakama says you're not allowed to leave a new paragraph with less than three because he's concerned Asunam Xermishum Nichnasin. What's his concern? He's concerned that if someone leaves early and they look at the parsha and they say, Oh wait, there's only two psukim left. What's going to happen here? And this is why he requires you to read more in next one. Why is that concern in the beginning that people might if you start a paragraph with less than three verses, people who enter might think, wait, one minute, what's going on here? The previous reader only read the first one or two verses of this paragraph, right? Why is he not concerned? So I remind Al Shul Shal. He says, because when someone comes in late, they usually ask, what's going on here? How is it possible the previous reader only read two? And the guy's answer is, no, they didn't actually read two, but they actually read it from the previous paragraph. Okay. Shalachei Rabba Brei de Rabba le Rabbi Yosef. So Rabba, the son of Rabba, sends the following to Rabbi Yosef. Hilchsamai. What is the halacha in regards to dividing the ma'amados? So Shalachei Halachei Dulek. He says, like Rabba, you should go back, double backwards. I'm sorry, Dulek. The middle reader should go back. Basically, you should, the first three are read by Leah number one, and Aleph through Gimel are read by Aliyah number one, and Gimel through Hay are read by Aliyah number two. And that's going to be the same with Rosh Chodesh, which is in fact what we do. Fine. So that explains the anomaly that we do. Zakal, Kol Sheish B'Musaf. Mara goes on, any day which is a Musaf, so Iba Elohu, Tana Tiba Kama. How many Aliyahs are there on a public fast day? Why? Because why would you, a public fast day is different than a regular day, similar to a Musaf day, because there's additional prayers. Or do we say no? Do you say no? It's like a regular day. So Rosh Chodesh Moed Ika Karb Musaf Arba. So he says no. What's the reason Rosh Chodesh and Chol Moed are unique? Because there's a Karb Musaf, and that's what engenders the fourth Aliyah. Whereas Tanis Tzibor, there's no fourth Aliyah. There's no Musaf. So there's no fourth Aliyah. Avachah Deleka Karbon Musaf Lo Odim Avachah Nam Ika Musaf Tefila. Because maybe we say Musaf, we don't mean the Karbon Musaf. We mean a Musaf, the addition. What is addition? Additional Tefila, and therefore we should read that as well. So Tashma, look at the way the Mishnah states it. Rosh Chodesh Chol Shmoyim Karan Arba. Mishnah says, "On Rosh Chodesh Chol Moed, you read four. Habatat Tzibor Gimel. The implication is on a fast day, which is not listed there, you should only read three. A Rishon, no, says the Gemara, if that's really true, let's read the beginning of the Mishnah carefully. The Mishnah says, Mishnah Mechamish Shabbos Mincha Karan Gimel. I'm Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos Mincha read 3. What's the implication? Hatana Sira Arba. So in Tana Sira, then you should read 4. So Elam Hachalek Lamash Melinis. You can't learn anything from this Mishnah about what you do in regards to Tana Sira, because wherever you look at it, the first half implies that you read 4, the second half implies you read 3. So says the Gemara, Tashma, so look at the following. The Rav Ukli Bavel Tanya Sivar. Rav happened to be in Bavel on a Tanya Sivar. Kum Krabas Sfira, and he got up to read the Torah. Pasim Virich Chasim V'lo Berich. He begins the reading. He recites a Pelat Bracha. When he concluded, he did not make a Bracha. Nofel Kuli Amba on Payahu Rav Nofel Apayu. And everyone then did Tachnun, and Rav did not do Tachnun, which we quoted this Gemara a couple weeks ago in our Sunday morning share. Michti. So Rav Yishalkar. Rav is the fact. So we have to figure what exactly is going on here. Rav probably read the Yisrael portion, the last portion. My time of chasim l'bayrach. So why did Rav, who's the final reader, begin with a bracha and end with a bracha? So meaning, and we remember how we learned previously in our Mishnah that back in the days, the only the first person who got an aliyah made a bracha and made the opening bracha, and the last person made the closing bracha. So here, if Rav's is Yisrael and he's getting the third aliyah, why is he not closing with a bracha? Clearly, this is someone else who's going to read after him. And that's why he did not end he was not the final reader, so he did not end with a bracha. So, lo, Rav Bikane Kar. So he goes, no, Rav actually read in place of the Kohen's portion. Da Rav Huna Kar Bikane. For Huna would read the Kohen's portion. I mean to say as follows, and we mentioned this a couple days ago, and now we'll explain it. Because everyone would want to fight for the first Aliyah, so we just said it goes to the Kohen. It goes to the Kohen. That being said, if you have someone who's a big rabbi, a great scholar, of the stature of Rav Huna, which Rav seemingly thought he was, so then they actually get Cohen. In fact, Chacham Avad Yosef used to always get Cohen, or the first Aliyah, not Cohen, because he felt that he deserved it. And there wouldn't be machlokas, because everyone would say, oh yeah, of course he deserved it, he's Chacham Avad Yosef. So Rav was getting Cohen. So now we have a couple of problems we have here. One is, why is Rav making the bracha in the beginning, according to the first opinion, when he's getting the third Aliyah? We're saying this is back in the days where they only made two brachas, once the beginning, once the end. And now we understand why, what's going on here. So Rav got the first Aliyah. Now I understand why Rav Kuna got the first portion, the Kohen's portion. I feel Rav Ami, Rav Ashi, the Kohen, the Chashiv, the Dar Yisrael. For even Rav Ashi and Rav Ami, Rav Ashi, who were the Kohen of Yisrael, Machakuf Le Rav Huna. They were subordinate to Rav Huna. As Rav Huna was there, they would give him, they would waive the rights to the Kohen to give it to him because he was a Rav Yisrael. The Rav, Ha'ika Shmuel, the Kohen, Havid, Adavar Alai. But with regards to Rav, Shmuel was a Kohen. He was living in Bavel, and he customarily took precedence over Rav. And we have this elsewhere in Baba Kama. Rashi points out, Rav allowed Shmuel to enter before him as a mark of deference. Therefore, we see that Rav actually would not take Cohen if Shmuel's in the room. So Shmuel Nami, Mecha Havikayev Le Rav. No, Shmuel also was also subordinate to Rav. Rav Hudav Le Ka'avad. It was Rav who voluntarily gave Shmuel covenant in his honor. The Ka'avad Le Lefadav. And when did Rav give Rav covenant in his honor? When he was there. Shlomo Vanalavale, but if he was not there, he would not give him honor because he wasn't there. And therefore, clearly, we're talking about here, it's a case where Shmuel's not present. Rav is there, so Rav gets the first Aliyah. And if Rav gets the first Aliyah, the reason he didn't make a bracha afterwards is because there's going to be a subsequent Aliyah. And this also explains, so we can't derive from here how many Aliyahs you get in a fast day, because maybe there were 3, maybe there were 4, there's no implication from here anymore. The fun of my time of bracha. Because if he got a Yisrael bracha, if he's getting the third Aliyah, the Yisrael, why is he making a bracha beforehand? Again, we explain. Once we establish you make a bracha beforehand and afterwards, meaning each individual person, so then we can't derive anything from here. If we want to derive from here, basically there was an additional Aliyah, and that's the reason why Rav did not make a bracha at the end, because someone's coming subsequent to him. We have to understand that why did he make a bracha beforehand? I mean, that kind of seemingly came together. Must be Rav got the Kohen Aliyah. How can Rav get the Kohen Aliyah? He wasn't Kohen. The answer is no. Rav considered himself to be their great rabbi, that's why he got it. Then we said, one minute, but Shmuel was greater, and we know that because Rav gave deference to Shmuel. And the answer was, yeah, that was when Shmuel was in the room. But when Shmuel's not in the room, Rav would get Cohen. And that explains why he made the first bracha in the beginning and didn't make the bracha in the end, because Levi was coming after him. Fine. Now, the Gemara is going to reject this. Lach and the Kana. However, I have a problem. Maybe you can say that Rav actually got the third Aliyah, and this is after the Takana where everyone makes a bracha, meaning in the beginning. So Yachli Lach and Namim Mubarak. So if so, Rav should make a bracha afterwards. Why did he make a bracha afterwards? So Shani Hechad Yasin Rav Dema Ale. So it's different when Rav is present, people come late, but they're not going to leave early. what's going on here? So again, what was the whole reason we had this takana? We said as follows. Really, the first person to get an aliyah makes the bracha in the beginning, and the person who finishes off the aliyahs makes the bracha at the end. Because we had a concern. If someone comes late to the davening, they're going to think, oh, you don't need a bracha in the beginning. If someone leaves early, they're going to think you don't need a bracha in the end. Says the Gemara, well, here, when Rav is present, people might come late, but no one's walking out if Rav's in the room. How can you walk out if Rav's there? And therefore, Rav would make a bracha before him, but wouldn't make a bracha afterwards. And that concludes today's learning. I wish you all a wonderful day.